Thank you. It is a real privilege to be here with you guys. Like you said, my name is Ethan Augustus. I am a fifth-year MDiv student here at the seminary, so getting ready to wrap that up. I also have the privilege of being a Greek GA here at the school, so thankful to be here and to just have a few minutes to share the word with you. I really just want to share something with you that God has been using really in this last week to encourage me and to shape some of my thinking. You know, even as we've had this introductory discussion, I've been reminded that, you know, all of us have so many cares and concerns, just kind of associated with day-to-day life, week-to-week life, you know, and that's part of why we pray, right? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. But there are times in life where beyond the normal day-to-day, just struggles and hardships, that we come face to face with suffering in a very real way, whether that's suffering personally or in the lives of those whom we love and are close to. The beginning of this week, I was in Texas with my family for the funeral of my brother-in-law. 44 years old, 10 months ago, he was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And since then, he has done the treatments, fought the cancer. You know, we prayed, we fasted, you know, beseeching the Lord to heal him. And just short of 2 weeks ago, the Lord took him home. And obviously, you know, talk about a trial, 44 years old, leaving behind a wife, 7 kids. And in circumstances like that, obviously it's very easy to start asking questions, you know, Lord, how is this the best way? You know, how is this part of your good plan? How are you going to use this? Could there not have been another way? While I was out there in Texas, actually, just on Saturday, I heard from my dad, who is actually a pastor in Indiana, where I'm from, and one of the brothers in our church there, 62 years old, had been killed in a tree cutting accident. Something he had done probably literally hundreds of times, and now, just in an instant, his wife, his kids, his grandkids, they all kind of have to face this reality now of losing him and what life looks like now. And just both of those things combined, obviously very heavy on my heart. And like I said, they kind of have you asking these questions of, Lord, you know, how are you going to work through this? And is this really the best way? You know, could there not have been another way where you would have provided healing, provided safety? And it's not wrong to ask those questions, as long as we bring them to God, right? And bring them to his word. And so I just want to share a passage with you real briefly that has been an encouragement to me. And it was actually brought to my mind, because of my brother-in-law's funeral. Another brother-in-law was sharing a story about him. And in recent months, my brother-in-law, John, had been finding encouragement in these very verses and the verses that follow in terms of working through his trial. And so they've just been on my heart these last few days and how I've been thinking about these things and how to work through them. And so I just want to look at 3 short verses today. Philippians 1, 12 through 14. Invite you to open there with me if you're not there already. But Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul, obviously writing Philippians from prison. And so when he talks to the Philippians here, and he says, he refers to what has happened to him. It's clear from the context that he's referring to his imprisonment, right? He keeps on referring to his bonds and throughout this passage and the surrounding passage, discussing his imprisonment and even all of the things that happened to lead up to that point, the riot, the arrest, the trials, the waiting. And you can understand what may have been going through Paul's mind, what surely, even based on what Paul says here, what surely must have been going through the believer's mind in Philippi and elsewhere as they hear about this, that, you know, here's Paul who he's been so greatly used of the Lord. His missionary journeys, he has planted churches. They saw miracles. They saw radical conversions. And now all of a sudden, it seems like all of that comes to a stop, right? Because he's arrested. He's in prison. He is potentially waiting execution. There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of suffering there. And Paul encourages the believers and he says, I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And that word that he says really has that idea of contrary to expectation, right? He's saying, I know what this looks like on the outside. And from all appearances, it seems like this is a detriment to the ministry, that it really is working against what God has been doing. But what Paul is saying is, contrary to what things look like, God is using this difficulty to advance the gospel. And in the two following verses, he explains that. And he gives kind of two results that have come about as a result of this imprisonment. In verse 13, as we've already read, we see that unbelievers are being exposed to the gospel. It has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Now, at the very least, Paul there is saying that everyone knows why he's there, right? It's not because he's a criminal. It's not because he's broken laws. He's there because of Jesus, the Messiah, and now Roman guards. And he's likely in Rome. These guards, these people who are even just around the prison associated with that, who may have never heard the name of Christ before then, are now being exposed to the gospel. So you have believers exposed to the gospel. And in verse 14, as we've read, we have believers being strengthened in the gospel, right? Most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And so just as I've been thinking about these verses, I think we can find excellent application for us as we face suffering, as we sort through how God is using these difficult circumstances. Because the reality is that God uses those very circumstances as a means to advance the gospel. And as you face trials, as you face suffering, I have no doubt that, you know, in a group even this size, that we have people who are facing personal suffering, suffering in the lives of people who are very close to them. And we try to make sense, you know, Lord, how are you using this chronic illness? How are you using this cancer? How are you using this death of a beloved saint? And Paul tells us here, God uses these for the advance of the gospel. And what I love about it is that it's not that God works in spite of these things, right? It's that he works through these things. It's that the very things that we would never have chosen on our own, the very things that we look at them and say, God, why are you doing this? Those are the very things that without them, the gospel would not go forward in the same way that it's going forward. Verse 14, he says that they have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment. So it's not in spite of the imprisonment, it's because of the imprisonment that they're gaining that confidence. We've been reminded of that even in a very real sense in this last week, and I could go on for much longer, obviously, but could already tell you about people who have attended funerals, who heard the gospel, who are not believers, who maybe would never be presented with a gospel message or picture that clearly. People my dad is telling me about, of family members, Catholic, otherwise, who are unbelievers and are hearing the gospel now and who are saying, we're coming to church on Sunday, and have asked if they could start a Bible study. And it's been incredible to see already, just in the last week, of ways that God is using this trial specifically to advance the gospel. And so I think as we come together and as we pray for, yes, you know, the cares and concerns and the needs that we have and these trials, but also we come together to pray for revival, right? Specifically. And as Brother Lee was already mentioning, that can be kind of nebulous, but God uses these circumstances, these difficult things, these things that we would never choose for ourselves. Those are the very things that God uses to advance the gospel. And so I think that can provide good perspective for us, even in terms of how we pray about these things. That it's not wrong to pray for healing. It's not wrong to pray for reprieve from the trials. Jesus shows us that. Paul shows us that. But what we cannot miss is the fact that we also have to pray that God would use those trials. And if sickness, if death is what would ultimately glorify him and advance the gospel the furthest, then we have to be willing to pray that God would give us strength, that he would give us boldness to really do that. And Paul sums it up so perfectly in verse 21, right? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So hopefully that can provide some good perspective for us and some helpful encouragement as we go to prayer today.